That's a cut off the new Metallica album, Hardwired to Self-Destruct. And that's the album title single right there?
It's the title track for the album.
Man, I thought Metallica was going to be done, but they keep cranking out some good stuff. Welcome to another edition of Blah Blah Sports, talking wrestling here. Benny, Sean, Steve, you know the gang here, and we're getting into the pre-show. As we said before, we're going to do pre-shows for the Big Four and reviews for every pay-per-view that we can. And before we get into wrestling, I want to talk about the new album. So when was the album dropped? Today or yesterday?
Still, they've released a few tracks, but the full thing isn't out yet. I believe it's either the end of this week or next week. I'll have to get an exact date, but I'm pretty amped. It's going to be really good. From what I've heard so far, they really went back to their roots and like stopped trying to be as much mainstream as they have been lately, which I don't blame them. I mean, they're all old guys. They don't have to be angry and wearing leather anymore.
I didn't think their last album was that bad.
No, I was fine with it, but it was like, it was made for radio as opposed to like older Metallica. They're playing more friendlier stuff now, which is fine. I mean, every artist progresses. I have nothing against them for it. Some people just can't understand that, and it's funny.
Yeah, music has to have some emotion behind it, and I think they lost it maybe a little bit with their last album. If a song's like that, I'm very excited. But we'll see. Have you pre-ordered it yet? Are they excited?
I did. I pre-ordered it like 2 months ago.
I wonder if they're going to let it come out on vinyl. I know a lot of artists.
I'm sure it will.
They have a giant release for this thing planned.
Can you imagine the sound of that?
Speaking of great songs.
Oh, Jesus. I can't even...
How long were you holding on to that?
Oh, like, easily 5 minutes. I was waiting for the right time to say yeah. And I did.
We'll be saying yeah this weekend as we're gonna dive into a weekend full of wrestling, a pack full of wrestling. NXT TakeOver Toronto, that's going to be on Saturday. And right now we're looking at about 5 matches.
They've been flirting around with the idea of doing the women's tag match, Billie Kay and Peyton Royce versus Liv Morgan and Aaliyah, I believe. That's how you say her name. I don't know. She's probably not going to make it to the main roster. But, okay, so let's dive into NXT TakeOver Toronto. Got a lot of good matches here that I'm really eager to see. Bobby Roode versus Ty Dillinger. They've been building that one for a while. The Revival, their tag matches are excellent. Asuka is taking on Mickie James, who thought we'd ever see her back in the WWE. And, of course, Shinsuke Nakamura and Samoa Joe. Let's start from the bottom here. Do we think that we're going to get something for the pre-show? And I'll start with Sean on this.
Normally, they don't show matches on the pre-show. What they do is they tape matches for next week's NXT. Yeah. So they'll probably do one or two matches like they did for Brooklyn. They'll do two dark matches, maybe even one. And then those will air next week. But we're not going to see anything on the pre-show because, spoiler alert, they actually tape these pre-shows well before they air on the network. So,
What?
Yeah.
What?
Well, at least for the NXT ones. They say they're live, but they're actually live to tape.
Those scoundrels are pulling the wool over all our eyes.
Well, it's only so that they can tape the matches for next week's NXT. Yeah. It's not like they're doing it on purpose for any reason.
They're not trying to be jerks.
But, all right, so do we think we're going to get we're going to start with the speculation. Do we think that they're going to add the women's tag match to this? Or
I don't really care. That's for NXT next week. That has no concern to me.
All right, let's at least start with the Dusty Rhodes Team Classic, Tag Team Classic tournament coming to a head. TM61, Authors of Pain, that's what we're looking like we're going to get. All right, Steve, I'll start with you. Build up this match basically has been done through the tournament, but it's really tough for a lot of people to get behind
TM61. Oh, you forgot something there, Benny.
What?
There's one added stipulation to this match.
Oh, what is the stipulation, Sean?
They're going to have Paul Ellering suspended above the ring in a cage.
Oh my God. What?
Yeah.
That's fantastic.
Well, that's what they're doing.
When was this added?
Today? Last week.
Jesus Christ.
Because he's been interfering in the tournament matches with the Authors of Pain, so that's why.
You're going to turn him into a Paul Ellering Christmas ornament?
Pretty much.
No,
Oh my God.
It's an old school thing. Like they used to put managers in cages all the time. I mean, freaking Sting was in a cage at one point. RoboCop broke him out, so.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like it's not a thing that's ever been done before.
Well, that's interesting. It's a callback, to say the least. But okay, so manager Paul Ellering is going to be suspended above the ring inside of a cage.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. Does this mean that TM61 is going to get the over, I guess, Steve?
I mean, these are two teams that are not that good.
No.
They're both still very green. I mean, Authors of Pain obviously rely on their size and just being humongous guys, and they kind of throw that around. I couldn't tell you which way this is going to go. I would like this. I mean, I feel like they're pretty high on Authors of Pain, despite their obvious lack of skill for now. But I feel Authors of Pain will go over on this one. I feel like there's not enough support behind TM61.
I look at TM61, and most of the time I have to watch NXT later in the week, but they just don't have good character work at all. Like,
they're not characters.
Their promos are boring.
I mean, I recently found out that the pose that they do is supposed to be a nod to the Mad Max movie. Where they're, you know how they're like posing for Immortan Joe,
I know what you mean, Sean.
Yeah, but it's straight out of the movie, and I had no clue. No one's ever mentioned it. I found out from a secondhand source.
Well, it's kind of random.
Well, they're Australian.
Okay, but still, it's like,
actually, I think they're actually New Zealand. Actually, I shouldn't have said that.
It's even more random.
Yeah, people in Australia do not like being called New Zealand, and vice versa.
And vice versa. Yeah, that's oi, can't be doing that, mate. I'll stab you.
Yeah.
They'll make you drink one of the beers or whatever. What's that beer commercial I always see from Foster's. Australia?
Foster's?
Yeah, Foster's.
Australian Foster's. People hate Foster's.
I heard that stuff is disgusting.
No, Foster's is good.
Really?
Yeah, I like Foster's. The best part is they come in those giant cans. You have two of them and you're good.
Did you know that? Well, not to make this dump on Australia topic, but did you know that the Australian accent developed over years of Australian people being drunk?
Yep.
That's fantastic.
And
almost everyone in Australia is a descendant of a criminal because it was a penal colony.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was the British would take their prisoners there.
SS Botany Bay.
Boom.
But we love Australia. Australia is great. Yeah. If it wasn't such a long flight, we would all go there.
We probably get a lot of listeners in Australia, so thank you very much for listening, but TM61 is terrible. Anyway, the Authors of Pain, I mean, if I had to hold, if someone held a gun to my head and said, pick a winner, I think it's the Authors of Pain. It's clear they want to build them up to be the mega team, but then you get heel versus heel. I don't know if they want to go that route. I don't definitely want to go that route, but it just, I don't know. Sean, what do you think of the Dusty Rhodes Classic as a whole and the build to this match?
Well, as far as the tournament itself, I thought it started off strong. There was a lot of different possibilities as to who could have advanced. A lot of the brackets looked good, and then the Austin Aries injury really injured, or didn't injure things. It really destroyed the whole bracket, because I really feel like Aries and Roderick Strong were going to go to the finals, and they kind of had to rework everything, which is why TM61's in there. I find it very odd that this is a rematch from the pre-show of last TakeOver. So they're basically just doing this match again after Authors of Pain destroyed TM61. It's obvious the Authors of Pain are going to win. But I will say, in defense of TM61, if this whole thing doesn't work out and they don't really click as a team, which one's the one? Is it Nick Miller, I think? Which one's the one with the tattoos?
I think it's Miller.
Nick, whoever it was, his match against Roderick Strong was really good. So he'll be fine if he needs to go in a singles run. He probably can't talk, but he's good in the ring. I've seen more from the singles match than I have them as a tag team. So that's a little odd, but...
Okay, what do we think is the biggest issue with TM61?
They don't talk. Like, you need to give us some reason to root for them, and I don't really know what that is other than the fact that they're baby faces.
Steve, what do you think is the biggest issue with TM61?
They're just like really generic and not enjoyable to watch. Like, I just don't enjoy watching them. That's my problem.
Could you argue they're more boring than TJ Perkins' character on the main roster?
Yes.
I'd feel like they're about the same. They don't talk.
Well, no, TJ has talked. It's just they give him these horrible video game puns to work into every promo.
It's like, you're not Mega Man. Stop it. You don't have an arm gun. You'd be a better wrestler. You'd be a more exciting wrestler if you had an arm gun, because you'd be like, look at that guy.
Look at that guy. He has a gun. That's amazing.
Like, he wins every match. Everyone has a hole in them at the end.
I will say this. The Authors of Pain, they interest me a little bit, because I kind of like the idea of a monster tag team. And you know what? To an extent, maybe there's a story there. Like, maybe they could work in some kind of like dark Undertaker type story where they're being possessed by something and whatever. But what the I don't hell? Know. I thought I was going somewhere.
They're the new Acolytes, Sean.
They're the new Acolytes. And I wouldn't mind that. I think that would be an interesting tag team. But they are still very green. And this match is going to be bad. I think it's going to be bad. I don't know if it's going to be terrible. But I don't think
it's going to be terrible. I think it's just going to be like run of the mill. Like, there's nothing exciting is going to happen. It's just going to happen.
Yeah, I guess you could say it's very going to be very far from glorious. What a transition there to Bobby Roode versus Ty Dillinger. This one has been built, and this is the one thing I really, really like about the Dusty Rhodes Tag Team Classic, is you can build stories like this. And I think you know, Sean, you hinted at it. They were going to do something along the lines of Austin Aries versus Roderick Strong, but they instead...
That's not what I said.
Well, you could argue we were going to get something along the lines of that. But,
No. In fact, there were no hints of that whatsoever.
You don't think they were going to do something along the lines of that?
No. In fact, they may have been a tag team for even longer. I don't know where the hell you got that from.
Well, I mean, I was assuming that was what they were going to do. They were going to do something along the lines of, like...
Assume... What the hell? Is that the Perfect 10?
Wait a minute. Uh-oh.
It is.
Oh, he's coming. That's another Jim
Walker. Where's the lady who says 10?
I think we missed it. Damn it, lady. You screwed up.
Do your job. Know your role.
And shut your mouth.
But, I mean, they have to give Roderick Strong and Austin Aries something. And, I mean...
Aries probably won't be wrestling again until next year, so... Okay.
It's that bad?
Yeah. He has a broken orbital, which is one of the worst things you can break. It is a very, very sensitive injury. You can't fly. You can't fly. You can barely lean over without any pressure. Pain.
Oh my God! Well, Austin Aries, if you are listening, and you're probably not, we hope for the best. But I was under the assumption they were going to do something along the line with those guys. I mean, either a match between the two or something. I thought we were going to get
that's all in your head. They never hit my head. Whatsoever.
But okay, so we get Bobby Roode versus Ty Dillinger. I kind of like this. I mean, it's two guys that are over. Bobby Roode is mega over. Ty Dillinger has gotten himself over with a character that at one point we thought was kind of dead in the water, and then they bring this Perfect 10 thing in. Fans get behind it. I don't know if it's something that'll get him to the main roster. I don't know if it's something that'll put him in the title picture, but it's something that's kept him around and kept him over. And this, I think, is a perfect match for Bobby Roode. I think they want to do Bobby Roode versus Hideo Itami down the road, and I think we're going to get to that. But for right now, this is a good match, and Sean, I want your take on it.
Benny, are you confusing Bobby Roode with Austin Aries?
No, they want to do that. They want to do Austin Aries versus Bobby Roode. I think that would have been a match you would have seen.
I think what you're trying to say is they were trying to do Austin Aries against Hideo Itami. Right? That's what you're trying to say?
Oh, that's what I meant to say. Hideo Itami. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Anyway, moving on. These two guys, they're both Canadian, so they're both going to get massive pops as they come out for the match. Everyone's going to go crazy. It might even start the show. It's that hot of a match. I think it's going to be good. And unfortunately, I think Ty Dillinger is going to have to lose this one because you have to keep Bobby Roode strong for an eventual title program with Nakamura. But I think it'll be a good opener and probably in a pretty good match.
And Steve?
For me, this is the battle of like two of my favorite entrances ever. Like I mean, the glorious one goes without saying. That is probably one of the best entrances.
Do you think Roode's going to do something special for this?
Oh yeah, he's got.
I mean, I'd hope so. Hopefully, he's not standing on top of a giant like pillar for like 8 hours, like at the like before Mania.
When I first saw that pillar come down, I thought they could do some stuff with that. You know, I mean, it was cloaked in black, and it really didn't have anything. But I thought for a second, I was like, they can do something with that.
It looked much better on TV than it did in person. In fact, he was standing out there in for a long time before they actually came back to it.
I know it was like even watching it on TV, I was like, he's kind of up there for a little while. But no, I think they're going to deck it out a little bit. I hope they deck out the pillar a little bit or, you know, give him something different. Nothing too crazy, but I do like the standing on something and being having it descend into the stage. I love that. But I'm eager to see what Ty Dillinger does with his entry.
He'll probably be wearing a lot of Canadian flags.
Oh, yeah. Maybe he'll bring one out.
Yeah, maybe he'll be wearing one.
Maybe he'll bring it out and that'll get involved in the match. Oh, that'll be fantastic. But no, this is perfect. I think this is good storytelling. I think this is good building to something bigger. I think Sean, to right, you have a point. It's unfortunate Ty Dillinger is going to have to lose a big program that I think would help him. But he's stuck around with a very solid gimmick. He's over with the fans. I think maybe you could put him up against Austin Aries when Austin Aries comes back. They want to do Aries versus Hideo Itami. They'll get to that. But, you know, yeah, you have potential here with both guys. And I think that's a good thing. Do we have anything else we want to say about this, or do we want to move on to the next match?
Glorious.
All right, moving on to the Revival. We're getting a tag team championship match. It's 2 out of 3 falls versus DIY. Kind of thought DIY was going to be, you know, shuffled off to the main roster. I still think that might be coming soon, but they are in dire need of tag teams, especially ones that are over. And
no one knows what's going on with the cruiserweights right now.
Oh God! Well, when we get to Survivor Series, we'll be laying into that whole what's going down there, that mess of a disaster. even though that's an oxymoron, a mess of a disaster, but. Revival versus DIY, we've seen this before, and I liked it. I mean, the Revival is great in the ring. I love their tag team. I really, really, really want the WWE to sell their jackets online. And DIY, they're fantastic from their cruiserweight match to this, to their tag matches. They can do no wrong. So I think we're going to get another good match here. At the end of this, I want to ask you guys a question about what you think is going to be the match of the night. But I think this has potential to be the match of the night. That's my opinion, Steve.
Oh, yeah, no, this will be a barn burner for sure. This will be a really good match. I agree. I love DIY. They're awesome. Tommaso Ciampa's got he plays the good psycho thing. And Johnny Wrestling, man, can't beat him.
Yeah, their tag team is just, the DIY tag team is just fantastic. I really, they have so much potential with the story there. They can go anywhere. And you know what? I really hope that when they get called up to the main roster, and the only reason I bring this up is because it looks like they're going to move the cruiserweights to SmackDown, even though, you know, you never know what Vince is going to do. But if they do end up moving DIY to SmackDown to put them into the tag team / cruiserweight division, I can only imagine a match between them and American Alpha. I really want to see that. But Sean, your opinion of the tag team championship scene?
Well, as far as the match goes, it'll probably be a really, really, really good match. Their Brooklyn match was really good. And now just adding 2 out of 3 falls to this match, it's gonna heighten things. And you know, they work really good together as two teams facing each other. And I think it'll just be really good. It has possibility of being match of the night. So we'll see what happens. I do think though that this is the time to pull the trigger and put the belts on to DIY. And I don't know what you do with the Revival afterwards. I think maybe possibly bring them up at some point soon. Maybe add them to either Raw or SmackDown. They could be a good foil for the New Day. Who knows? But
they would.
It would really benefit DIY now because there's really no other babyface tag teams to go up against the Revival if DIY doesn't win the titles. But
you're right.
But if DIY does win, there's plenty of heel tag teams for them to go up against. So it makes perfect sense.
I want to get back to your point about the Revival going up to Raw. That, in my opinion, I mean, I understand they want to, you know, if you're going to break the New Day's run, I would rather them do it with an established tag team or one that's over or one that's just very good like the Revival can be. My only fear is that we've seen a lot of call-ups go to Raw and kind of get lost in the shuffle. You know, talking about Bayley, it comes to mind. Dana Brooke gets called to mind. And even with tag teams, you know, we're seeing some, you know, NXT guys that get called up to Raw and they're just completely like Neville. They're just not used.
Well, we'll see. I mean, if they come up and they're in a feud with the New Day and they take the titles from them, that's a big deal. You just ended the longest title run in history. But you know, it all depends. They could, for all we know, go to SmackDown when they come up. We don't know.
I think that probably would be best. But all right, final words on the NXT tag team championship scene, and then we'll move on to the women's match, which I'm really excited to talk about.
Say yeah.
Yeah.
Say yeah. All right, so we'll move on to the NXT Women's Championship match. And I think this, going back to when this first was announced, or when the rumors were speculating that they were going to go with Mickie James, I thought this was the right move. They are starving right now for competitors for Asuka. They have basically sent the entire women's division to the slaughterhouse to put Asuka over. And it's worked. I mean, Asuka is a phenomenal performer. I buy that she is dangerous. I buy her character. So I think it's a smart move to take a veteran that's established, Mickie James. She's over. People love Mickie James. I just never thought in my life I would ever see Mickie James back in the WWE. And that's not because of the hand gesture in the Trish Stratus storyline. I really just didn't think they would go back to her. There was a lot of when she left, there was a lot of minced feelings there. She went to TNA, and that, of course, fell through. And I don't – has she been wrestling that much since then? I don't think she has that much.
Since when?
Since her – I know what she was in TNA after WWE, and then
yeah,
she was kind of
– she wrestled for a while in TNA, and then she had a baby. She took some time off, mm-hmm. and she actually works in the Performance Center now. As a trainer or coach or something, so she's around, she's there, but she hasn't been on TV wrestling.
I think that it was a shock. I mean, I like it. I like the idea they're doing this.
Well, let's be honest. The only reason why Mickey's doing it is because Trish got pregnant. We all know that.
Yes. Yes. And I mean, when you think about veteran women's wrestlers they could bring back, Lita is out of the question.
She could. I mean, I guess. They just didn't ask her.
I don't know if they would even want to. I mean, I'm not going to sit here and crap on Lita. I think she was a phenomenal wrestler, but I think they just kind of like where she is. I mean, and granted, we've ripped on her before as being a subpar desk anchor, but I just think they kind of like where she is. I don't think they want to put her in harm's way anymore. I know she was having injury issues when she was wrestling, but we think of women's wrestlers they can use. There's only a handful, and I think Mickey James is the right call. That's my opinion. But I'm excited. This is a competitor for Asuka that I think actually poses a challenge since Bayley. And I think at some point they're going to have to start looking at this women's division. I know Ember Moon seems like the next logical choice, but I would really like to see Ember Moon win the title versus just be, you know, more fodder. But that's just me. We'll start with Sean on this one. Sean, the NXT Women's Championship match, Mickey James, Asuka. Has this got your attention? Are you excited?
Oh, of course. I mean, I haven't seen Mickey wrestle since, TNA years ago. So, I mean, obviously, yeah, I'm excited. As far as Ember Moon goes, I do feel like she is being groomed to succeed over Asuka at some point. Mm-hmm. But it's just too soon. She just came in. You got to, I would say, earliest takeover before WrestleMania, at earliest.
Yeah. When and talking about Ember Moon real quick, and we'll get back to the women's match, but when Ember Moon debuted, she had the look. She was fine in the ring. And then when they hit that finisher, I think that was the point where we said, okay, I think this girl has it all.
Well, now, I think in ring, she's ready. I mean, she has experience in the ring. It's just, I think her character needs some seasoning and she needs to get some more credibility, some more credible wins behind her before they do the match.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, I think the match will probably be okay. I mean, nothing against Mickey. I think Mickey is a good worker and everything. I just wonder how their styles are going to clash. Asuka has a very interesting style to her. But overall, I am excited. And one other thing. I know you were mentioning how Asuka just, is the reason why the women's division's in the state that it is. I would argue that the draft is the reason why the women's division's in that state, because they took so many women from their division and brought them up either to Raw or SmackDown, and now there's no one for her to feud with.
I see your point, and Steve, I want you to chime in on this as well, but I see your point with the draft. The problem was, to me, I could see them, Bayley was kind of a foregone conclusion. But Bayley wasn't drafted, but to me, Bayley was a bit of a foregone conclusion.
She still went up relatively soon after that.
Yeah, I think it was, a month later?
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah, something along the lines of that. We saw Nia Jax versus Asuka. Kind of never want to see that again for a while. We did not see Carmella and Asuka or Alexa Bliss and Asuka. I mean, I would be interested in seeing Alexa Bliss versus Asuka. To me, Carmella was kind of like, she got called up. I still don't care, and her heel character is that annoying girl from high school that wants your attention. That's her heel character, and I hate it. I guess she's doing her job. But it's an annoying heel character. But I see your point to that. I mean, I would be inclined to agree. But I think even before that, you looked at that roster and you said, okay, who realistically can beat Asuka? Who would they take or push to the moon to take the belt off Asuka? And the only person was Bayley, and of course Bayley lost to Asuka twice, I believe. So it was kind of like it was done after that. It's just me. I mean, they weren't going to do it for Nia Jax. They probably weren't going to do it for Alexa Bliss. And then if anyone believes that Carmella or even Dana Brooke, no. But the state of the women's division, I think they didn't do a good enough job preparing for the draft. They didn't look at that roster and say, all right, let's start moving people up the chain. They just kind of were like, all right, you can just take.
I would suggest the draft kind of blindsided them.
I like I'd have to say they had to have known that was coming. They had to have known that these people were going to be taken up months in
advance. They never once said that they were going to take people from NXT until the week before, so they may not have even known until the week before.
Well, this goes to show you Vince McMahon is literally insane. But I don't know. I would think even before that, though. I mean, Liv Morgan was getting airtime before that, and I think the issue with her was that her character mirrored Carmella a little too much at the time.
She was actually a jobber before that.
I know she was a jobber before that, but I think she was getting airtime around about a couple months before the draft.
As a jobber?
Barely. Was she still in jobber mode?
Yeah, because, I mean, they were forced to put her in an actual, you know, main role after everyone left.
Dear God. Yeah, they took way too much talent out, and they have nothing there. But, I mean, I don't think we're going to, like, okay, so just looking ahead. You know what? Well, I'll ask this question later. Steve, your opinion on the women's division in NXT, and then I want your opinion on Alpha Division.
Oh, hell yeah.
I used to jam to that. That was, yeah, like, the best.
Grab
like,
that thing.
Around clapping. And she's, the best part about Mickie James is she wore those skirts that were, like, totally not long enough. It was like, there we go.
Mickie was the first Trump.
She was. She's grabbing him by... Okay, I'm not going to say it.
Calm down there, Joe Styles.
When Mickie was in TNA, didn't she have some kind of country girl thing going on?
Hardcore country.
She's hardcore country.
Oh, God.
You're trying to bring me down to your white trash. Trying to bring me down to your white trash level. You find yourself dancing with the devil.
And then James Storm threw her off a train rail. It was fun.
Yeah. And she died. She kayfabe died. She pulled a taker and came back to life.
God, I love TNA. I want to miss TNA when they finally go out of business. But anyway, Steve, the women's division and Asuka and Mickey. What's your opinion? And then, of course, I want to ask a question.
Yeah, I mean, I feel the NXT women's division has kind of been lately like a big fish in a small pond with Asuka. There's real no legit contenders to her. They can build some, but it's going to take some time. As far as the match goes, I'm very excited to see Mickie James again. I always enjoy her in-ring. It'll be cool to see her back in the WWE ring, even if it's NXT. I agree with Sean, though. Asuka has a very interesting work style in the ring. I mean, she's like a female version of Strong Style. It'll be interesting to see how those two mesh, but I'm excited for it. It'll be a good match for sure.
Yeah, I'm intrigued. I'm intrigued by a lot of things because we haven't seen Mickey in wrestling gear in a while, so I'm wondering what she's going to wear. I'm wondering
nothing at all.
Oh. Yeah.
Say yeah, but yeah. All right. So here's my question to both of you. Okay, we're going to look past the Mickey James versus Asuka for a second. After this match, who do you think has the run for their next takeover? Who do you think is going to be able to face Asuka for the next takeover?
Peyton Royce, maybe?
Oh, God.
Or no, Billy Kay, maybe. Oh, maybe both of them.
Both 2-on-1?
Want
to bury
triple threat
division in that? You know what? I wouldn't mind that. It'd be something different.
You just can't go to Ember Moon that quick.
No, you can't. I agree. Steve, do you think?
Do you think what?
Do you think that they?
Do you think at all?
Yeah, I was like, I guess sometimes.
Now, do you think they'll go to Ember Moon too quickly, or do you think they'll save that? But then if they do, who do you think gets Asuka at the next takeover?
I mean, this is WWE. They do like to force people into stuff before they're ready. I mean, I really do feel like Ember Moon is going to be the next big thing. They're definitely pretty high on her, and she's ready in ring, but she just, her character's not believable enough yet. Like Sean stated before, still a little bland, but I mean, I could see Ember Moon moving up to that level because they need someone there.
I'm wondering why they haven't given her a match for TakeOver.
She doesn't really have a program right now.
Yeah, no, she does. She's not really doing much right now.
Just baffled.
They'll just bring back. They'll bring back Karma, and she can face Asuka.
Oh.
That, That oh God. I mean, I'd be excited to see Karma back only because I would want to see like if they do a
Nia Jax versus Karma.
Nia Jax versus Karma. Even if like for instance, they decide to do it. They decide to have a women's Royal Rumble during the Royal Rumble, which I don't think they'll do. It might be just a battle royal, but I would want to see that like confrontation really quick, and then just kind of push off. Michael Cole.
Her theme song always really creeped me out. I'd be like, oh, God, make it stop.
The cackle used to get me as a kid. It terrified me. But anyway, all right, moving on to Shinsuke Nakamura versus Samoa Joe. This kind of seems like it's the beginning of a swan song for Samoa Joe.
Ooh-ha, ooh-ha, ooh-ha.
No, ooh-ha's on SmackDown.
Oh, that's right. That's Lucha.
Lucha. You might be getting something soon. But anyway, okay, so Samoa Joe versus Shinsuke Nakamura. I don't think they're going to take the belt off Nakamura anytime soon. If they do, I'll be shocked. But Samoa Joe, his run in NXT has been pretty good. I don't fully believe that it's come to a complete end. I think they have a couple of matches left for him. But this does seem like it's the beginning of the motioning him towards the main roster, and I think we're gonna get that within the next couple of takeovers. But all right, Steve, talk about the build up to Nakamura versus Joe and your opinion on the match itself going into it.
I mean, I love the feel between these two. The animosity and like the violence is very palpable, and it's something you don't see really on like the main roster anymore. But just like these two guys, I mean, like these two guys have just busted each other up, and just they've really sold the program really well. But I do agree with you. I don't think Nakamura is going to drop that title. I think it's time to bring Joe up to the big leagues because I think he would just run roughshod through the whether it's SmackDown or Raw. They need a really legit scary monster. As long as he doesn't get lost in translation and they ruin him and they kind of dilute him. But he's a legit, like, you can sell him as a scary heel who is a submission specialist. He knows how to hurt people. Like, if they sell him right, he could be a gnarly big time player up there.
Be interesting to see some of the potential matchups they can get with him, but
what was that?
I'm singing
Smallville's
theme song.
Who was
I'm not doing the Starbucks version. Sean knows what I'm talking about.
I'm interested in seeing potentially, and I think we may get this because there were signs of it during the buildup. Do you think we might get William Regal versus Samoa Joe?
Nah, Regal's done. Nah, he had that fusion surgery.
Oh yeah. Oh God.
And I don't mean Dragon Ball Z.
Can you imagine if that's how they actually did it? They just like made
fusion.
Your spine
fusion. Ha.
And you get like what would William Regal and his spine fuse be called?
Be
William
like,
Spinegull.
Jesus.
But I'm anyway. Sean, your opinion on Nakamura Joe, the build, the match. I thought the build was really good.
Yeah, I mean it was. You know, they prolonged it. You know, in a good way, having him take him out, and then he comes back, and there's a big brawl. Even the contract signing was. Pretty good. I think it'll be a good match. I mean, I thought their takeover match was really good. It's going to be a little hard to capture that magic a second time, considering we've seen them already. But you know, I expect it to be pretty damn good.
I liked a lot about the build up. Not this wasn't my favorite part, but I liked how they would have Joe come out and just murder half of the roster.
By half the roster, you mean like a couple jobbers? Yes.
Well, I know what he did.
That was
one
my
guy.
Big problem with that. Like he only came out and beat up jobbers. Like he should have beat up like some of the lower
guy,
card guys. You know,
he beat up the one guy. What was his name? What's the guy's name?
Oh, Dan Matha or whatever.
Yeah, that's his name, Matha. And like, okay, Dan Matha is actually pretty big. He's like what, 6'7", 6'8"? He's pretty huge.
Sure.
So, I mean,
but. He was his debut. He wasn't. To me, he was still in jobber category. He still hadn't had a match.
He still is, but
he's not a credible person that he's beaten up.
No. Then he had the what was the one tag team with the twins
again, debuting
jobber,
people.
I know they're jobbers, but
it's Jim,
I mean,
and I. It's Jim and I.
We're Simon Dean when you need him.
Yeah, I know. Oh man, give him a protein shake. It'd be all right.
Simon system.
Man,
but I mean,
made Batista bomb.
The build up had violence. The build up was believable. These guys hate each other. You sat there and for a second, I felt like I was in, you know, parts of the Attitude Era with the build up. You know, breaking his neck or hurting his neck, and he's out for a while. Comes back. You have the interaction. You have the animosity towards each other. That's really all this needed. They hate each other. Let them fight. Let them fight for the gold because they're great. But NXT TakeOver, if I had to ask you guys what match you think is going to be match of the night, what match you think it's going to be?
Probably the tag, 2 out of 3 falls.
You think that's going to be the tag match?
I think so, yeah.
Steve?
Yeah, definitely that one, or Samoa Joe and Nakamura will definitely be a deliverer again. That's always good.
I think I'm going to go with Bobby Roode versus Ty Dillinger. I think that's going to be my match of the night. Because Ty's a good worker. I think Roode's first match with Almas was kind of weird and kind of clunky in parts. I think in large part that was due to Almas. So I think I'm going to go with Roode versus Dillinger. And I think I'm going to do that because I think we have seen really good from Ty Dillinger. And I think we have yet to see really good from Bobby Roode. That's just my opinion. All right. Let's wrap up TakeOver Toronto. Any other thing we want to mention about TakeOver Toronto, or is that pretty much it?
Yes. Steve, do you remember when Bobby Lashley made Simon Dean eat 30 cheeseburgers?
I do. Oh, man, that's a great flashback. That was awesome.
Yeah, and then he almost threw up at the end because he lost the match. It was yes, great.
I loved when Simon Dean gave one of his shakes to Batista. Batista's flexing. He's like, I feel stronger. And then he goes, I feel angry. And he just put him through a table. That was so funny.
Oh, Nova.
Oh, my God.
All right. Let's move on to Survivor Series. Now, the lead into Survivor Series, kind of less than stellar. A lot of these stories are starting to get muddled up. But I will say the Goldberg-Lesnar stuff is good. It feels like something is on the line there. Goldberg is fighting for his family. Lesnar is, you know, fighting just to fight. But looking down the card a little bit, there's some baffling decisions in terms of where they're going with things. It does look like they're going to do almost a little bit of a trade. The Intercontinental title to Raw in exchange for the entire cruiserweight division, which
well,
is kind of what it's
let's not assume
like.
Things, you know, they, I mean, both okay. Kendrick and The Miz could win and then nothing would happen.
Yeah.
So,
which you're right. They could stick with it, but I think a lot of people are sitting here holding their breath, not necessarily for the IC title, but for the cruiserweight division, because, and I think we all can agree here, it has been a flop, a major flop. And it's been a flop because of a couple of things. I think largely was the fact that they're just not deviating the style from the rest of the roster. I mean, you know, it'd be one thing to see, you know, Kendrick do a suicide dive over the ropes, but we see Big E do that, or through the ropes. We see Big E do that. And, you know, the whole aspect of cruiserweights that have power, I get it. It's fine, but they still, the cruiserweight division has to have flips in it. It has to be fast-paced, high action, high octane action. And they kind of clipped their wings, and they've kind of, you know, slowed them down a little bit to kind of keep them in check. And I think that's been a good idea. And I think the biggest problem was the opening program. Kendrick versus Perkins was boring. And I think I speak for a lot of people when I say them not allowing TJ Perkins to speak from his heart and kind of making Kendrick look like a very odd heel. I mean, I really don't know what to think. He's kind of like a wuss, but a mega wuss. Like, making, they should have never allowed him to say, will you just lose the title for me? That was probably the worst creative decision they've made this year. I'll go on a limb and say that. I don't know if it's going to make my worst of, because we don't have a category for worst creative decisions, but it's up there. That was a bad, bad promo. And it just feels like there's nothing investing in the cruiserweight division. Kendrick, the character of Brian Kendrick's very confusing. TJ Perkins has been a disaster from the Cruiserweight Classic. This is just, it's been falling apart at the seams. I think a large part it's been to the fact that it's been on Raw, and Raw dilutes the cruiserweight division. So maybe going to SmackDown will help.
I don't see how going to SmackDown changes anything.
Well, I think SmackDown is more of a wrestling-oriented show. I think we can agree on that.
But where are maybe they going to fit on SmackDown? What kind of TV time are they going to get? It's not like they would be going to the shorter show. So what are you sacrificing on SmackDown?
They also have, that 205 Live thing they're going
to
do?
Yeah, but if they're going to be exclusive to one of the brands, why would you put them on the shorter show?
That's a good point. But they weren't working on Raw.
That doesn't mean they're going to work on SmackDown.
They might have a better chance.
The only reason people are saying to go to SmackDown is because they're taping it, the 205 Live show, after SmackDown. And to me, if you're not going to have the cruiserweights traveling on each brand, then what's the big deal? Why can't they work both Monday and Tuesday? Because they're not traveling with the rest of the roster. They're just coming in for the TV tapings, and sometimes both days. So why not just have them do the TV tapings, have them do, you know, certain house shows? I don't see how any of this changes anything.
A lot of that is yet to be, again, you make a good point. A lot of this is, you know, we have to see where this goes. Again, but like you said before, you know, Kendrick could retain. This could just be, you know, teaser with Kalisto.
Kalisto would be a really bad cruiserweight champion, too.
Like, oh, he'd be awful.
I mean, if you thought Kendrick couldn't cut a promo, and he can cut promos, too. Like, he cut a good promo after the Hell in a Cell victory, too. Like, on that Raw afterwards, he cut a good promo. His character has been awful, but Kalisto, he can't cut a promo at all, and he's sloppy in the ring. So how's he going to be a good champion?
I think the telltale for Kalisto with me was his U.S. title run. At that point, I was like, this guy, he can't do anything. I mean, he can wrestle. He's fantastic in the ring.
But he's sloppy.
He can't talk. It's just the bottom line is he can't talk. I could excuse some of the sloppiness, you know, because he's a flippy guy. He does. The Salido del Sol is cool. I still, you know, to this day have it entrenched in my mind, him doing the with the Uso, Jimmy or Jay, I don't know which one, through the ladder. Like, I still have that in the back of my mind. That was one of the biggest oh my god moments I've ever seen in wrestling. But the bottom line is he can't talk, you know, and that's just it. He can't talk. And by the way,
good job, Mick Foley. You're putting your entire division on the line to a guy who begged to have someone throw the match for them. Yeah, good job, Foley. Real confident, you know?
They are really not. I understand what they're trying to do with Mick Foley and make him look like the bumbling GM that doesn't seem to really know what he's doing, but they're just doing such a bad job of it. Like, it's not that we don't get it. We get what they're trying to do, but we don't buy him as bumbling. We buy him as an idiot.
Well, it's,
and I don't think that's what they wanted to do.
There was no, and I feel like these matches and this and the Intercontinental title match are solely because this is a Raw versus SmackDown type of pay-per-view that they just wanted to put all the matches brand versus brand, as opposed to just doing, you know, a Raw match and a SmackDown match. They just wanted to do head-to-head for everything. So, you know, and that's why we have a situation where we have Brian Kendrick against Kalisto, of all people, even though Brian Kendrick has like 3 to 4 feuds going on Raw itself.
Including one with Sin Cara now.
Yeah. That was a bad match, too.
That was terrible.
I really don't know what they're trying to do with Sin Cara. Because wasn't Sin Cara supposed to be seeing anger management because of the whole Jericho incident?
Yeah, he watched the movie and he was fine.
Yeah, he was like, wow, Jack Nicholson, Adam Sandler, I feel better.
I really hope that, like, Sin Cara went to go meet with Vince McMahon, and Vince McMahon said, all right, sit down, here's anger management. Literally showed him the movie.
Now, Sean and I discussed something about this before. He probably doesn't know what the movie is.
No. No idea.
Who's Sin Cara or Vince McMahon?
Oh, Vince McMahon.
Both. But nah, I agree. The cruiserweight champion, the cruiserweight division is in dire straits. And you know, some people look at the opportunity to go to SmackDown and see it as a chance. But to me, I don't know. I just the only way they're going to fix the cruiserweight division is that they unhitch the wagon here and let them fly. That's the only way.
Hey Sean, if the cruiserweight division goes to SmackDown, we don't have to worry about Braun coming out and slaughtering the entire division.
It'll happen at some point. Just wait for the Rumble. It'll happen.
Braun.
He'll throw like Tony Nese out of the ring, and we'll be like, "Oh,
it's gonna be like Braun, Kane, the Authors of Pain." And like Undertaker, and they're all gonna come out. And Vince is gonna be like, "Yes, yes,
throw the small guys out of here." It'll be like five of them. It'll be like T.J. Perkins, Kendrick, Kalisto. Yep, all thrown out at once. Swan just being tossed out left and right.
By the tallest guys in the WWE.
Big Castle, probably big boot Kendrick out of the ring. Yeah. Anyway, all right. So, Steve, do you want to comment on the cruiserweight division?
I agree.
That was said.
It's unfortunate. Great. It's an unfortunate situation.
All right. And speaking of unfortunate situations, what the hell are they doing with the Intercontinental title? That's the dumbest decision to not have Ziggler versus Sami Zayn.
Well,
I mean,
go ahead, Steve.
I think I was just going to say, I have a feeling. I have a feeling that the Miz got it back so that Sami can now have it, because more people would like to see Sami beat Miz than Sami beat Ziggler.
Yeah.
I don't think anyone really cared.
No, I honestly mean Sami's been kind of floating under the radar doing some subpar feuds, but I think he needs a championship run, and something like the Intercontinental title would be good for him. And I feel like Sami coming out there and beating up Miz would be way more marketable, and get a way better reaction than him beating Ziggler, which people are actually starting to get behind Ziggler again after winning that. But yeah, on Tuesday, as soon as that happened, it all started to click together for me. I was like, no, the reason Miz is winning is so he can catch a pin at Survivor Series.
But I wonder what the storyline is going to be with Miz. You know, demands a trade. Are they going to go down that route? Or is they going to go down, tries to renegotiate his contract? Or I don't know what they're going to do. But my fear with Sami Zayn is that one of these quiet feuds they still have to address and still have to wrap up is with Braun Strowman.
Nah.
I really, really hope.
I think that's kind of dead.
Yeah, he kind of killed Sami.
That was a 2-week thing?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's all that was. I have a feeling that, Sean, you and I actually talked about this a little bit yesterday. I think Braun is going to be turning babyface pretty soon.
I think at some point it's going to happen.
He's starting to get pops if you listen. They're not booing him anymore. He actually is getting pops when he comes out.
Yeah, he's...
People are starting to get behind the big man.
Yeah, people have enjoyed... I think one of the big things that's helped him is that they split him away from the Wyatt family. And at first we were kind of nervous about that, but we thought, oh my God, they're just going to push him to the moon. And, you know, they may do that, but they've done it in a good way. You know, they've fed him some very iconic jobbers. I think, you know, the fact that he's the guy that crushed James Ellsworth, that he's the guy that crushed Johnny Knockout.
Like big sweaty men.
Yeah, they've given him some iconic job. Of course, you know, the Mile High Club from Denver or whatever it was, the three on one where he crushed them. They've done a good job of making his squash matches somewhat entertaining. I also attribute, and I think this is what Braun Strowman's going to have to do, he's going to have to say a big thank you to Stone Cold Steve Austin, because that podcast has really helped him get over. I don't think anyone can deny that.
I don't know how much of the audience has listened to the podcast, but...
I think for the Smark fans and the ones that are like hardcore that
let's he's not getting over with the Smark fans. It's the you know, general crowd that he's getting over with. It's just because he's a big monster guy. You know, I don't want to compare it to Goldberg, but you know, it's a guy, this big monster guy who comes out and kills everyone. Like, people are going to get behind that. The only time they're not going to get behind that is if he's killing someone that they like.
They haven't had a legit fresh monster
babyface in, oh man, really long time now. Yeah, it's been a while now.
It's refreshing. But before we get too far with Braun Strowman, are we willing to write this down that Sami Zayn is going to take the IC title?
I don't think it's a guarantee.
Yeah, I don't think so.
I mean, it could happen. I don't think it's a foregone conclusion. I mean, they could easily just have Miz retain it by cheating again, and then, you know, everything stays the same.
Well, and it just makes it baffling that they're potatoing that.
But what do you do if you have the IC title on Raw? That you have two mid-card titles.
Yeah, it's true.
That's one of the big knocks that I would have against Raw is that, okay, so now you have two belts you have to set divisions for. You never know what they can do with Rusev. You know, it does look like Rusev is going to be worked down the card a little bit.
You know what the funniest thing would be is if Sammy wins and then later on in the show, you know, Stephanie and Mick are congratulating him and be like, yeah, thanks for bringing the title to Raw. And he goes, you guys didn't know my contract ran out yesterday. I signed with SmackDown today. And then he brings.
Oh, man, what a swerve.
He's on SmackDown with the title.
That would be fantastic.
I would love that, actually. That'd be really funny.
Sean, you need to write for the WWE.
Yeah, let's say, Sean, why aren't you a writer? What the hell's going on?
Honestly, Sean, I really like that idea. Having like a
the only problem is it makes Stephanie and Mick look dumb. But if that is the case, then Stephanie will just like castrate Mick at that point.
Well, yeah, because that's kind of been what they're going along with is curb stomping Mick's character into the ground. But I really like that idea, Sean.
It's not going to happen, but you know.
Oh no, because you know it's logical, but. All right, let's move ahead. We're gonna try and blitz through as much as Survivor Series as we can. Team Raw versus Team SmackDown, the Survivor Tag Team Elimination Tag Match with tag teams from both tag team divisions from Raw and SmackDown and tag. I don't know. I'm running out of enough ways to say tag team in this, but basically New Day. Sheamus and Cesaro, The Club, Enzo and Cass, The Shining Stars versus Team SmackDown, which is Slater, Rhino, The Hype Bros, American Alpha, The Usos, and Breeze Dango. Breeze Dango actually being on television. It's impressive. But, all right, I think we're kind of going to see Raw here. That's my biggest fear, is that we're going to see Team Raw for all three.
That would be awful.
That would be the worst.
Then you get to the last one, and it's just like, well, what the fuck? What is SmackDown fighting for? You've already been killed. Like, what? No, they're not going to do that.
Just a Raw sweep, like, you know, because the red show's better.
I'm trying to think. I mean, and we'll get to the singles, the 5-on-5, for the men's. But I mean, okay, if maybe the women's can lose because you can have the whole like they just don't work well together, and then Team SmackDown does. But I mean, I'm looking at the tag thing. I mean, they definitely don't want to have New Day eat a pin just yet. Maybe they do.
The way I look at it is, the women's match. I feel like they still want to protect Charlotte and Sasha and possibly Bayley. So you kind of have to let the Raw women get over. So to even it up, you have to go SmackDown Tag Team.
Mm-hmm.
As much as they like to protect the New Day, they're the only ones that they would protect on that Raw side. So, you know, as improbable and as lesser of a team SmackDown seems, I feel like they're going to be forced to have SmackDown go over in that one.
I don't know if they're. I mean, American Alpha's on that team.
Oh, look at it. Like the Hype Bros, Breeze Dango. Like they're weak links there. You know.
Yes. The Usos are still
even their tag champions. You know, it's a comedy act. At least for Raw, you have the New Day. You have Anderson and Gallows, Cesaro and Sheamus. Those are three legit guys right there.
Enzo Cass.
Enzo and Cass, even though they're technically comedy, they're still kind of legit. So you right. got a better division on Raw. But I think to make things interesting, they'll have to have SmackDown go over.
God, I really don't want to see Carl Anderson eat another pin.
Well, he's going to, so let's not worry about it.
or God, if they have Luke Gallows eat, oh my God.
They're going, yeah, they're all going to be eliminated, Benny. They're all going, so.
Just... I know. I'm holding my breath. Steve, what do you think of the Survivor Series tag team, tag elimination, tag match with the tag teams?
Okay, we got it.
I was going to say, Ben, if you say tag one more time, I'm going to tag Sean into powerbomb you. But, I mean, I don't know. This one is just like, I don't like the Survivor Series tag team match because it's too many people.
Why do we need five teams? Why can't we just do four? Like,
I know, it's just so many people.
Four extra bodies. Why do we need to do that?
It's like there's going to be no room on the outside of the ring. It's going to be like if they did a lumberjack match and everyone stood on the outside of the ring and didn't like stand on the floor.
Yeah.
But, I don't know. I mean,
it does have the potential to be a cluster.
I'm just going to say the Team SmackDown wins because the Usos have a new attitude and Dave Otunga's talking to Rikishi.
Yeah. Even though on SmackDown, the Usos were all buddy-buddy with American Alpha.
Like, sorry we tried to, you know, break your ankle.
Which pissed me off.
Yeah, and I was like, why are you ruining kayfabe?
That's dumb. But this match has my my cluster warning. And it is a big, giant gold cluster warning, and I'm really nervous about it. I think, if we're going to pick a potential match of the night, I don't think we've mentioned it yet. I'll say that. But I think this could be the cluster of the night. Moving on to the women's tag match, we have Team Raw, Charlotte Flair, Bayley. They're going by Charlotte Flair now.
They change every week.
they're confusing. Charlotte, Bayley, Nia Jax, Alicia Fox, Sasha Banks, Dana Brooke will be there. And then Team SmackDown with Nikki Bella, Becky, Alexa Bliss, Carmella, Naomi, and Natalya will be ringside.
The coach.
Yes, coach. Coach Natalya.
Coach.
No, I'm saying the coach is going to be in person at Survivor Series. No, I'm kidding.
Jonathan Coachman? Jonathan Coachman just comes in. I don't know. No, this has got to be Team Raw. I mean, they want to push Charlotte to the moon. They want to push Bayley. They want to push Sasha. And, you know, you look at Team SmackDown. Naomi, her character still needs some work. Carmella is just not awful. Naomi's getting there. I'll say that. I think the issue is that they're not giving her mic time.
She's not getting much any time lately. I haven't seen her at all.
Yeah, you know, her entry is cool.
She came out on a SmackDown to defend the team. But I mean, I was like, wow, I haven't seen you in a while.
Yeah, but you know what? She was there. The whole team was on Talking Smack on Tuesday, and you know, they asked her questions, and I can see why she doesn't talk.
Oh, geez.
Yeah, it's just I don't know. Not as charismatic as we would hope.
No, especially for that entry. You would think that you would get like a bubbly personality, not flat answers.
Someone's got to call her mama.
I also wouldn't call Naomi flat.
Oh, no, no.
Oh, yeah, especially with the...
She got a donk.
She got a donk, all right. But no, I think this match, I think, is going to be fine. Again, there's just a lot of people, especially with the additions of Dana Brooke and Natalya, just standing there by the ring. But I don't know. We're definitely going to get some story development on either side. I just don't know why Alicia Fox has to. I know why Alicia Fox has to be in there, because somebody has to take a pin for Raw. Looking at you, Alicia.
It's because that's their whole division. They couldn't put Dana in there, so they put her.
Nope. God.
There's no one else.
She is going to be Alicia Fox, eater of pins, winner of few.
I do feel like, though, that they value their Raw women more than their SmackDown. Even though the SmackDown women do have the better storylines going on, I do feel like they covet the Raw women more, specifically Charlotte and Sasha, and maybe even Nia, maybe. That's why I feel like they're going to protect the Raw women. Plus, Charlotte on pay-per-view, you know, you got the, even though it's not one-on-one, you could add that to the streak.
Yeah, they want to build that streak up. But to your point about the Raw women, I think when you look at top end, so when you look at the top end of the entire women's division or the entire women's division in the WWE, they have, I mean, arguably they have three out of the top five. I mean, you know, Charlotte, Bayley, Sasha, you know, Becky right now is in the SmackDown. That could change, but. And then, you know, if you want to say maybe Alexa Bliss would be there or maybe Nikki Bella would be in the five. But, you know, Raw has three out of the top five. They want to push all three. Eventually they want to do Bayley versus Charlotte at Mania, I'm assuming, even though Sasha versus Bayley would definitely do gangbusters there. But no, I think this is the match where I look at it and I think it's a foregone conclusion that Raw is going to win. You know, their team's arguably better. The only weak link is Alicia Fox, and we all know why she's there. She is there to get pinned by Becky, and that's it. Bottom done. Or Alexa Bliss. Maybe Alexa Bliss will get a pin because they want to do some stuff with her. But anyway, final comments on the women's thing, and then we'll move on to the one of the main events, at least. At least they're calling it that.
I got nothing.
Nope. All right. Team Raw versus Team SmackDown. Now, Kevin Owens, Chris Jericho, Roman Reigns, Braun Strowman, Seth Rollins, AJ Styles, Dean Ambrose, Bray Wyatt, Randy Orton, Shane McMahon, which, okay, I guess it's fine. Baron Corbin's hurt, so I get that. And then James Ellsworth is going to be ringside. He's money, but...
Well, he's the official mascot of Team SmackDown.
And this, being that, okay... I have a question. I know I'm not going to get it. It's not going to happen. Well, Undertaker's promo on SmackDown on Tuesday, he said that basically he came out, said that he, you know, he's going to have one more match, you know, kind of read
that's
between
the lines. That's not what he said.
Well, no. I mean, he said that WrestleMania is not going to be his legacy. He's back here to dig some holes and, you know, whatever with some souls.
Digging holes and taking souls.
Digging holes.
Horrible
and
catchphrase.
Bad, very bad. But
are you saying that you want to see James Ellsworth get beaten up by the
Undertaker?
Well,
no, because what he said was whoever costs Team SmackDown.
No, that's not what he said. He said that if the team loses, then there's going to be hell to pay. So he's going to come. He's going to hold everyone accountable if they lose at Survivor Series. He didn't single out one person.
Because he's always kicking assholes' asses.
That's true.
People have speculated from that we may go. They may go with AJ Styles versus Taker at the Rumble, which would be interesting. But you know, maybe the build for that would include Undertaker and James Ellsworth, or at least a tombstone or a chokeslam there. I kind of think we might get that with Raw Orton. Kind of think we might get that with Bray Wyatt. But when he said that, at that point, I said, okay, Raw's going to win. It's 99% sure Raw is going to win. I think the build to a match against AJ Styles at Rumble would be interesting, you know, because then you have, look at all the characters you have for him to pick on week in, week out, you know. Be interesting. That's just my opinion. But Steve, I want your opinion on Raw versus SmackDown, the 5 versus 5 match.
Yeah, I don't know. I know they're trying to build SmackDown Live as like their new brand because they like changed the name and stuff and they want to sell it better, but I just don't see them winning over Team Raw. Like, I just it's not feasible to me. I really think that Raw is going to go over here because, I mean, it sets up, it does set up like whatever. Because, I mean, Taker's not going to issue a threat like that, and then SmackDown's going to win and everything's going to be cool. Someone is going to screw over Team SmackDown to make Raw win, and that's what's going to set up Taker's feud with whoever screws over Team SmackDown.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
All I have to say about that. Sorry, Stone Cold came in and out again.
And Sean, what do you think of the 5 versus 5 match?
I feel like Raw's going to win because Raw wins everything. They won the draft. They won. They win everything. They got an extra hour. They love Raw. I mean, SmackDown.
Winning.
SmackDown. Absolutely.
Vince backs Raw.
Yeah, SmackDown absolutely should win. They need to win. But they're going to give it to Raw just because that's what they do. And I think the real question is, what do we see here between Kevin Owens and Chris Jericho? Is there anything happening here? Is there a small hint? Like, what exactly are we going to get from them?
I think this is what we might see, and this is just me making a prediction. I think Jericho's going to eat a pin here, because when you look at that roster, who can definitively take a pin? Really wouldn't make any sense for Kevin Owens to take a pin. Roman Reigns and Strowman are out of the question. And you look at Rollins, and you could argue Rollins is kind of out of the question as well. They want to keep him hot. So you look at Jericho. Jericho could take a pin. And if you want to get technical, they probably should give that pin to Shane McMahon, maybe. That's my opinion. Or they would give it to Bray Wyatt, you know.
Oh, yeah, let's give it to Shane McMahon, someone who's not an active wrestler, who does not need it at all.
maybe the story to that is that, you know, miscommunication between Jericho and Owens costs Jericho.
Shane McMahon shouldn't eliminate anyone in this match.
Shane McMahon, this is what's going to happen.
He can give an elbow off the top through a table if he wants, but he shouldn't eliminate anyone.
No, I think Shane McMahon's probably going to get pinned by Reigns. I think so. I think that's just my opinion. But I'm just trying to look at who's going to pin who here, and I think Reigns is going to get a ton of pins, and Ed Strowman's going to get a few as well. I can't see Chris Jericho getting a pin. I can't see Owens getting a pin. I think it's just going to be largely Reigns and Strowman. That's just my opinion on this. But I'm interested in seeing this. I think this, you know, I look at all these matches in terms of hype. I think, you know, the next match we'll talk about is probably going to be the match of the night. But I think this is going to be technically wise, the match of the evening. I think Raw versus SmackDown, because, you know, I have no faith in the cruiserweight division to produce anything worth me watching. And Miz versus Sami Zayn. Well, I think Sami Zayn's going to be phenomenal, and I do think they can put on a good match. I just don't know, but I think Raw versus SmackDown is going to be that match. So final comments on this. Or who do we think that Taker is going to face potentially if he's going to wrestle at all?
I don't think it's a guarantee, because the man just had hip surgery not too long ago. So I wouldn't guarantee that he's wrestling at the Rumble.
Maybe he interferes at the Rumble and sets something up for Mania.
I wouldn't guarantee anything for the Rumble for Taker, but we'll see.
We'll see. It looks like they're ready to start moving towards something, and I'm intrigued, but we'll see. I definitely want to see Taker versus Cena at Mania, but I don't know if they're going to go that route, and that kind of scares me. But anyway,
the SmackDown the moments, the second one was the John Cena debut, and they specifically added the part afterwards where Taker congratulated him after his match on that first SmackDown match. I don't think they didn't do that for a reason. Just saying.
I kind of know what you're getting at. I think they really want to do it. It's just a matter of...
Just saying, they could have just shown the Kurt Angle thing and that'd be it, yep. But they specifically showed the Undertaker part.
They're starting to tease just subliminally. I love it. Anyway, moving on to the main event... Brock Lesnar versus Goldberg. All right. So I'm not going to do much talking here because I said my piece. I'm interested in seeing this match. I'm scared that it's going to go too long. And by too long, I mean 10 minutes. I think they're going to give this too much time. I think maybe the entry should go long. But as soon as this match starts, I would give it 8 to 9. I wouldn't give it anything higher than that, because I think once you get to 10, 12... is where Goldberg's going to get exposed. And we already saw Goldberg on Raw and the slip and the ring rust. It's there. But this is going to be a nostalgia match. This is going to be a match where the first couple of minutes are going to be the crowd going berserk. And I think this is good. This is good, because this is a step in the right direction to get people to start watching, you know, get dream matches for your big four. And I think this is a good step in that direction. But anyway, Sean, before I go to you about this, I want to talk to Steve about this. Steve, how excited are you to see Goldberg back in the ring wrestling again?
Yeah, Steve, tell us how excited you are.
Oh, okay. So I've been telling Sean the last few days, but at my gym, the way you get to the locker room is there's a big ramp and then like turn left, and the locker room is completely like in its own area. Lately, my thing is if there's no one in the locker room or on the ramp, I will put on the Goldberg theme. I'll walk down the ramp, like breathing really loud out of my nose, and I'll wait at the court. I'll wait at the door for a second, then walk out into the gym like I'm Goldberg. I'm sure I've been seen at least twice now. But that being
said, that's awesome though.
That, I mean, it worked. I hit a deadlift PR the other day because I did that. I was like, nope, Goldberg did this. but besides my antics, I'm very excited for this match. The little kid in me is just losing because I was a huge Goldberg mark when I was a kid. I still am to a degree. He is one of the best entrances ever, and it's always just that itself is such a spectacle. As a person, I'm a little worried about him because he's a little rusty, obviously, and he admitted that this past Raw he hurt himself in the little scuffle with the security guards.
What did he do?
He tweaked his shoulder. He said it's nothing that's going to affect the match, but he definitely felt it go a little bit, and he said it hurt. When he went to clothesline that one,
over the top rope?
He kind of overthrew his arm a little bit. He says he's in really good shape, and I mean, he looks like he's in really good shape.
When he took off his shirt on Raw, I was like, "Damn, that man's been doing his push-ups." I tell you that.
Yeah, he's actually a pretty decent kickboxer. He's been doing that for a few years.
He's definitely not. I mean, you can tell he's not as big as he was when he was in WCW or the WWE.
It's been years. You can't maintain that size into getting old. It just doesn't work.
But I still buy him as a threat. I was
saying that to Sean the other day. I still completely buy him as a threat to Brock Lesnar. Because he's still huge. He's not like super small. I mean, he's not Brock Lesnar size. But again, no one's Brock Lesnar size. If you wanted someone comparable, you'd have to bring a grizzly bear in.
Braun Strowman.
Braun Strowman's big, but he's not a spectacle like Brock.
Nope.
I hope this match doesn't go too long either, and I hope we get a little, just get some fan service, and I hope that it makes up a little bit for that ghastly match at WrestleMania 20. Although I don't think they could do anything to make up for that blemish.
No. They've tried to dance around, showing too much of that match, but it's really tough.
There's not much to show.
it's very difficult to not remind the fans of that. But you brought up a good point referring to, I think there's a lot of nostalgia with this match. That's kind of the running theme here. Is that I think the WWE knows that this isn't going to be a technical masterpiece. But I think they want to do this to get nostalgia. And I think nostalgia is a big part of 2016, reminding us of how good we had it when we were younger. But I think it's time to move on. Sean, I want your opinion on Goldberg versus Lesnar. Then I have a question for both of you about Goldberg, and I'll ask that after the Sean's answer.
I mean, you pretty much said it. It's a nostalgia thing. The entrance is going to be great. I feel like the crowd's going to be into it. I know, Steve, you were concerned whether or not the Toronto crowd will be into Goldberg. I think they will be. I think the Buffalo crowd was a good assessment of how things are going to be over the weekend.
I mean, obviously
you don't want them to go really long. I think 10 to 12 minutes is perfectly fine. I do question not putting a stipulation on the match, like a no DQ or something like that, because it does limit what they can do, which means that we're probably going to be getting more of a Brock Lesnar type of match, which is fine, I guess, but you kind of would like to see a little bit different. I guess it'll be fine. I mean, I'm curious to see how Bill is in the ring, because... I don't know if he's practiced at all, but it's not, ring rust is a real thing. And, I'm curious to see cause we saw the knee strikes, we saw the jackhammer and the spear. It was just enough to see that he might need a little work in there, but, I'm excited for it. Everyone will be popping for it. I'll be popping for it. So we'll see what happens. I do feel like, though, is that Brock does have to win.
Oh, yeah.
I think having Goldberg win does nothing for anyone, really. And if you want, you could. I don't think it's a good idea to do a screwy finish, but if you wanted to, you could have someone screw Goldberg out of the victory and then lead to another Goldberg match with someone.
Okay, but I'm gonna stop you right there because that's my next question. So to both of you, and I'll start with Sean and I'll go to Steve. Do you think we're gonna get a second Goldberg match?
I think it depends on how this match is. Obviously, you know, like I said, if you're gonna have someone screw him out, that does lead to another match. Mm-hmm. But I mean, he's gotten over with the crowd. Everyone remembers him. He's arguably the top babyface on Raw. I don't see the reason not to do another match, unless it's just like the match is horrible and like he just looks totally lost and out of shape out there, which I don't think is going to happen. I don't see why you couldn't do another match.
Steve?
I agree with everything Sean said. I mean, as long as he's still like the ring rust isn't too bad and he's not totally gassed out there, I think he'll be all right. I think we get another match out of him. It just really depends on how it goes. We'll save it to Sunday.
I worry about both of them sweating so much because, you know, Goldberg has just been...
That ring's going to be unusable.
I know. Goldberg's been drained of sweat, and Brock, we all know he sweats a lot, so...
Yeah, I remember watching... it was like a brief documentary on like Brock Lesnar's workouts. And he says that he has to consume, when he lifts, he has to consume like easily close to a gallon of water because of how much he sweats.
Mm-hmm. I can see that.
It's like, it's insane. Like that man sweats a small pond. Like, you wonder how the Great Lakes were made, and Brock Lesnar was lifting.
That's disgusting.
Like I'm never going to go swimming there. I haven't.
I don't think you can swim in the Great Lakes, Benny.
you probably can.
I don't know. I mean...
They're huge.
Yeah, but we also use the Great Lake, some of them, for drinking water, so I don't know if they'd let you do that.
Do you know which ones, just so I can... you know, never go swimming in there.
No,
ever.
At your own peril.
But I think we might get one, because they definitely want to book this Mania up and maybe overbook it to an extent. I speculate as to who. Potentially, they probably could go down the route as Goldberg versus another retired wrestler. That'd be interesting to see that bring back. Maybe if they can find a way to get Kurt Angle, that would be interesting, but...
I don't want to see that.
I
don't know. You're going to bring Kurt Angle back. You should put him in there with one of the young guys, you know. Get a good match, you know.
Yeah. No, I agree. I just don't know. I mean, we'll see. But I think that just about wraps up Survivor Series. I do want to mention that there has been speculation now. And this was taken out on Twitter, and I was going to put this in the rundown, but I decided not to. Triple H tweeted out kind of a little nod to Conor McGregor. Do you think potentially we'll get a McGregor appearance at WrestleMania?
No doubt. Maybe not this year, but next year. He's going to be involved in WWE in somehow.
Sean?
In some manner.
If the price is right.
I'm interested to see, like we could possibly get a McGregor match.
No, I don't think we're going to match. Dana wouldn't allow that. No.
I think we might get a Rousey match down the road.
She's still fighting.
She's leaving soon. She's leaving UFC soon.
Yeah, but what if she wins the belt?
I don't see that happening, to be honest. There's a
really? She's stated that she's entering her last round of matches. Like this might be her last ride. Now way that she does end up winning a belt or the belt in the UFC, I guess that's a couple extra matches she has to fight. But I think that she's seeing that she can make more money doing other things, and she doesn't have to put as much stress on herself. Maybe acting's not going to take over.
So what are you proposing? Or should we hold off Asuka until Ronda's ready?
That'd be awesome.
oh my God, that would be awesome. Now, I think if there's one match I want to see, that's a WrestleMania caliber match, but I do want to see Stephanie McMahon versus Ronda Rousey, because they've teased that before. We'll see. But anyway, that just about wraps up our preview of Survivor Series. I forgot to ask, what match do you think was going to be match of the night on Survivor Series?
I don't know. Probably the main Survivor Series match.
You think it's Goldberg versus?
No, the main the
oh the team, five versus
team
five?
SmackDown.
Steve, do you think it's going to be 5 versus 5 as well?
Yeah, probably. That's always the takeaway match from that. The Goldberg Lesnar match will be cool, but it's not going to be some groundbreaking thing.
No, it's not going to be a technical masterpiece. I'll say the 5 versus 5 as well. I may do a sleeper nod to the IC title match because we always seem to get good stuff out of Sami Zayn, but I don't know. I mean, last time Miz was in a match of the night, it was probably Miz versus Ziggler. Yeah, that's about it. Yeah, he's not great in the ring, but I don't know. Survivor Series is going to be interesting. NXT TakeOver is definitely probably the pay-per-view you definitely want to watch. But for now, that does it. We will be in our chairs this weekend and having our eyes glued to the TV as we watch NXT TakeOver and Survivor Series. Any last thing we want to plug? I know, Sean, you have a new show out now.
Oh, yes, that thing. So, it's a new show added to the blah blah network, I guess you could call it. We're competing with the WWE Network now.
Exactly. $9.99.
Well, no, we're for free, so we have a leg up on that. But it's basically it's similar to this show, except it's more free form. It's kind of like almost a little bit like the Joe Rogan show, it's about wrestling. So check it out. Steve, you'll like the title. It's called What a Maneuver.
Oh, that's perfect.
Yeah. So if you want to hear Vince yell a lot, What a Maneuver, check it out.
Fantastic. Happy to have the show added to the library as we're trying to build that out. But maybe eventually we'll have to take subscribers.
What do you mean?
$9.99. We'll just pound $9.99.
Well, it's hard
ears.
Enough to get people to subscribe for free. So let's start there.
A lot going on here at Blah Blah Sports. We'll be talking about Survivor Series next week. We'll eventually get another sports episode out. Me and Sean, a lot's happened in the NFL. The Eagles are doing, I guess, a little bit better than what I thought. Dallas is 8-1. This is crazy. But for now, that does it.
Isn't going to let Steve plug?
Steve, what do you have going on?
Nothing, Benny.
I don't want to talk to you.
I don't want to hurt my feelings. Matt, I guess at some point, Benny, we're going to have to talk about the insane show that was UFC 205.
Yes. Yes, we'll have to get you and Tom rounded up together because that has a lot to be unpacked there.
There was some history made that night in more ways than one.
Yes. Yes, we'll have to talk about Conor McGregor, everything that went down there. I will say this. Wonder Boy is a nut job.
That's a good movie.
I'll just say that. Wonder Boy is an absolute insane human being. When he had his hands down the entire match versus Woodley, and I was like, what the hell is he doing?
He fights like a karate fighter. They're crazy. He stands sideways with his hands down. We might as well say now, Conor McGregor, the first intra-division champion between two divisions, besides Dan Henderson, of course, is insane.
It's very impressive, but there is a lot of speculation with that as well. And we'll touch on that as well where the next.
Yeah, we won't get into it too much now.
But for now, that does it for myself, Benny. You can follow me on Twitter at Benny on the Radio. Sean, of course, is at the _ Brack Show, and Steve is at San Barbarian and Nhayar, if you want to follow him on Instagram as well. And if you have, follow him, unfollow him because he doesn't like to be followed.
That's right, goddammit.
But definitely sit down by your TVs this weekend and watch NXT TakeOver and Survivor Series. A lot of good wrestling on. And of course, a lot of good nostalgic wrestling as well. But for all of us here at Blah Blah Sports, we'll be talking to you next week.